Marty Lurie here as we get ready for baseball, joined by the philosopher of the San Francisco Giants. That's Nick Hundley. Nick, nice to see you.
What's up, Marty? Good to see you again.
Yeah, back home. Let me ask you this first about road games. My goodness, road games. Are they that much different than home games for a ball player, a pro?
No, we've been on the road pretty much all of May. So towards the end of long road trips, it gets long. But it's the same game no matter where you're playing.
So why is it? Why do teams struggle on the road? What happens?
I think it's obviously speaks to the advantage you have to hit last. You know, that's a big advantage. And then obviously people are more comfortable sleeping in their own beds and hitting their own ballpark and playing the stadium that they've played in all year long. There's definitely a comfort factor there, but other than that, there's not that much different.
All right. Well, that's the philosophy of baseball. That's why you're here, to give that opinion. It's interesting with a lot of the analytics of baseball, and we have some of the folks on the show, and they talk about, is the changeup the best pitch in baseball? Is the high fastball now the best pitch in baseball? The game is changing a little bit with all the analytics and all the information. How would you answer a question like that? High fastball or a changeup? What do you think is the most deceptive?
I think the best pitch in the game is a located fastball.
Okay.
Wherever, if you can consistently command your fastball, you're in really good shape, and you'll get a lot of people out. And obviously, it's not very easy to do. But if you can throw the fastball where you want to, more often than not, you're ahead of the game. And that could be up, it could be down, it could be in, it could be out. If you can command it to try to expose people, it makes the game a lot easier.
Well, you're a catcher back there, and you're looking at these launch angles. I saw a stat today that the average launch angle is, I don't know, 11% or whatever it may be. It's the highest in the history of StatCast, of the StatCast era. Now, you're a catcher. How do you adjust to that?
Oh, I mean, you know, there are different ways to adjust. As a hitter, I don't want to hit it on the ground. Those guys are really good on the infield, you know. So you're trying to drive balls and hit line drives, and, you know, those turn into extra base hits. But as a catcher, you know, I think it's really important to know where a guy's barrel gets to in the zone with strength. And then wherever that impact zone, where each guy's path is different, you know, so you got to evaluate what type of path they have and then try to work around that.
All right. No, that's a great answer. That's your job as a catcher, to figure it out, and I appreciate that. Rob Manfred talked a lot, the commissioner of baseball talked a lot this week about the state of the game, so to speak, with strikeouts more than hits and all this stuff. And he talked about the shifts, and he was almost implying that maybe baseball would be better off without all the shifts. Maybe there'd be more hits and less strikeouts and less outs, more balls, sort of rallies happening. What do you think about that?
Yeah, I'm not against the shift. I think the game is obviously harder to hit now with all the infield shifts, and now more and more teams are deploying the outfield shifts too. Not playing guys as straight up and taking away extra base hits and stuff like that. So that's another element to the game that's tough. But for me, if you want to increase the hits and the runs and stuff, I think you can deploy a shift, but there has to be a certain number of infielders and a certain number of outfielders.
Okay.
So if you want to play three guys on the right side of the infield, you can do that, but they have to play in the infield.
Got it.
You can't play your second baseman in right field. You can't have four outfielders. That would be considered an outfielder. So you got to have four people play on the infield. You can play them wherever they want, but they have to stay on the infield. And then you can play your outfielders wherever they want, but they have to be in the outfield.
I like it. Very good, Nick. A very good answer. I appreciate it. Nick Hundley, our philosopher. Very good. The other thing he said on relief pitchers, and I kind of like this one, I'll just tell you my feeling, is that when you bring in a reliever, he's got to face like three batters, you know, so you don't have that parade of lefty-righty going on all the time. I think it would be a challenge for a major league pitcher, and I kind of like it.
Yeah, it'd be interesting to see how that develops. You know, I think that might take some guys' jobs away from them and increase the likelihood of that, but at the same time, it's an interesting thought. I don't know how far that would how far that conversation would go. You know, that's not something that we've had a whole lot of talk about. And obviously, as a member of the players' union, that's something that would have to have serious discussions.
Yeah, no, good answer on that. That's the impact what it would be on the union. I think that's something that would be an issue. The bullpen cart, a couple of teams are starting to use it. You know, I guess they could have fun with it. You know, maybe instead of a cart, they could have a chariot with a horse, you know, or something if baseball wants entertainment. What do you think about that? You know, you're a catcher in the bullpen. They call Nick Hundley's got to pinch hit. Do you take the cart in?
No, that's why I don't ever go down to the pen, just in case they need me in the dugout. I'm not a huge fan of it. I've seen the Diamondbacks, I've seen them do it. I think we're kind of nitpicking there, you know. We're trying to take away 35 seconds, make the game 30 seconds quicker. I'm not too into that one.
Okay, all right. Mr. Grumpy here. All right, he's not into that one. All right. Baseball got into it this week a little bit with your catcher. Again, a slide at the plate by Anthony Rizzo. And he went a little bit to the infield side of the plate to clip Diaz's leg, who threw the ball down the right field line. They said it was a legal slide. Umpires reviewed it, or Manfred did the next day and said, no, he should have been out for interference. Do you think baseball should change rulings and then suspend games and go backwards on plays like that?
No, definitely not. Obviously, that was an intentional slide going out of his way to try to they had a clear lane at home, so obviously it was an illegal slide. And to hear Joe Maddon say that everything was okay and that it was legal is pretty preposterous. I'd like to see what he said if somebody slid into Contreras that way, their own catcher, or Jimenez, their backup catcher. You know, any of their players, I think the tune would be a little different out of Madden's mouth. But, yeah, for sure, I think you can't go back and redo it. You know, that's not part of this game. There's no reset button. It's not like a video game where you can just start the game over. So, obviously, the league came out and said that they missed it, but, you know, that's the way it goes. You got to live with it.
Yeah, no, I'm with you on that. There'd be too many games to redo, and what if you weren't playing that team again till October, September? Yeah. You know, what would you do? So too many can of worms, my feeling on that. Nick Hundley with us. This is a good discussion. I don't know if you saw Aaron Judge's throw from right field. Did you see it? 100 miles an hour to the plate. To me, it looked like a video game. I mean, I've never seen a throw like that. And I tell you, in my honest to goodness opinion, I don't think I've ever seen a throw 100 miles an hour.
Yeah, that was really impressive. Obviously, he gets a lot of respect for the way he hits the ball and how much power he has, and deservedly so. He has as much power as anybody in the game, but to see the full package, I mean, he's a really good athlete, obviously. He runs good, obviously plays hard. You really respect the way he plays the game. And then to see him make a throw like that, that's like the old right fielders. You know, back in the earlier days when we were growing up, you see those guys throw the ball and really let loose, and people didn't run as much. But that was, that was really impressive.
Yeah, maybe it was StatCast with the line on the screen, so it looked like a video game. But I'm telling you, that thing had another life to it. Who's the best? Well, you've caught at the plate, obviously. You made a lot of tags at the plate. Who's the best throwing arm that you've been around?
Oh, man, that's a tough question. You knew who was really accurate and really good arm was Adam Jones in Baltimore.
Okay.
And it's tougher, obviously, being a center fielder because you're deeper. The throws are longer at home.
Yeah.
You know, when I was there, we had him in center and then Nick Markakis in right. And he has the Major League record for most games played without an error. So, obviously, those two guys were real special that way. And Markakis not making any errors, that's obviously you got to be real accurate, too. So, but Adam Jones can really throw it.
Okay. No, that's a good one. I hadn't thought about Adam Jones. Hey, the draft is Monday. You want to just recount your draft story for us? I don't think I've ever asked you that.
Yeah. I got drafted out of high school by the Marlins. I didn't sign. Went to Arizona. And we were playing my junior year. We were playing Cal State Fullerton in the playoffs. And Sunday, I think it was probably like a Sunday, we got beat, or Monday. And we were flying back to Tucson. And I actually got drafted while we were on the airplane. So the draft started right when we were about to take off. And we landed, and I had about 60 messages, and I knew I got drafted. So this was before all the plane Wi-Fi and all that stuff. So I found out I got drafted when we landed in Tucson.
How quickly did you sign?
You know what? I signed a little later because we were playing and getting everything set, and I probably signed like 3 weeks after the draft. So I went to Eugene, Oregon, and started my pro career.
Oh, boy, exciting! Now, what did you do for the 3 weeks?
Oh, I went. My dad was coaching football at UTEP in El Paso, so I went and hung out with him and my parents in El Paso for a couple of days. Worked out, hung out around, moved all my stuff out of Tucson, and cleaned up my life a little bit. So yeah, it was a good experience. So fun times.
Well, it's going to be exciting for some people, certainly starting on Monday. Carlos Gomez, kind of a little bit of a character in the game of baseball, goes out there without his sunglasses, gets a pair from a fan. What do you think about that?
Oh, it's great. It's like you said, it's an entertainment business. You know, I love when guys go in the stands and tumble in there and then take somebody's nacho or some popcorn. You know, those are things that fans remember, and the attention on the game in a positive way is really cool. You know, we're in an entertainment business. People come to AT&T Park to be entertained, and you know, so any little thing, obviously, you know, that doesn't have a bad impact on the game. You know, having a good time and enjoying it, and you know, Carlos Gomez, for all the antics, he plays hard and he gets after it, and he brings energy to the game. And I think it's really – I thought it was awesome.
You ever engage the fans in any way like that where, you know, fans are – you're so close here. Anything like that ever come up with you?
Oh, yeah. Every now and then you got to talk trash to some fans or you stand on deck and guys are really close to you. And, I mean, you can hear what they're saying, you know. So every now and then you got to respond or just you know, interact with the fans, you know, grow the game. You know, this is a great game, and we need more and more people enjoying it like we do. So as much as you can engage the fans and be positive and really, you know, give them an experience that they're going to remember, whether that's giving them a ball, signing an autograph, or just saying what's up, it's gonna grow the game, and that's something that we as baseball players definitely need to get done.
All right, great to have you on. I love the philosophy of baseball. This is fun to do this with you. Washington, then the Dodgers, and then back home again. So you guys go out on the road again.
Yeah, I got another trip. We got a big series against the Phillies coming up. Obviously, they played real good against us in Philly, so we got our hands full.
All right, Nick, thanks again.
Thanks, Marty. Anytime, man.
All right, that is Nick Hundley, philosopher of baseball. More coming up, KMBR 680, the sports leader.